Again, hello everyone. This is a beautiful day on March the 25th. Kind of transitional weather here, and I think it is most places, but oh my, spring is on the way. And we have had some really good times with our new spring fragrance here, fighting off the ravens who seem to want to take it into their nest. I've never seen anything like that happen ever before in my life. But it's an extraordinary breath of spring. And I highly recommend it to anyone who enjoys our essential oils. It's not like any floral spring fragrance you've ever sensed. The energy is at such a high level. It's like the Garden of Eden. It's got fruit, it's got herbs, it's got flowers, but it changes. It's like a chameleon. It changes every time you inhale it and you smell something different. Really quite an amazing, miraculous thing created to wake up the senses. But, of course, that's not what we're here to talk about today. One mention I could make while we're on the subject of essential oils, and that is if you have your Christ-Head handy, I really recommend a little whiff of that or just a touch on a pulse point before we begin the blessing. It kind of reminds the soul of its eternal connection to Christ. And it just adds to the quality of your blessing. I see we have Jackie on the phone. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Glenda. I feel like it's been so long since I actually shared anything.
Oh, well, good. What's happening for you?
Oh, my gosh, so much. But one thing I wanted to share really quickly. So I finished writing the book, and I got my book published now. And in the book, I wrote, you know, some stuff about, of course, my past and some stuff about my, you know, relationship with my parents as a child. And of course, you know, I never actually talked to them about what I was going to write in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So needless to say, they took the book and they, you know, they read it. And, you know, of course, they felt upset at some of the stuff that I shared. And so just yesterday, I had this conversation with my stepmom about, you know, the whole thing. And I really asked Yeshua to be in my presence and to be in this, you know, in the midst of this dialogue with her, because I really wanted to have healing, you know, with both my stepmom and my dad. And I really felt like, and I really wanted to know what it felt like to be able to be an allowance of the other person and allow them to just be themselves without myself getting lost in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I used to think that in order for me to do that, I had to accept everything they said and I couldn't be myself. I couldn't, like, express my own heart. And for the first time, I really was able to feel that. And we had, like, such an amazing healing conversation. And so, you know, my next conversation is going to be with my dad, but I feel so light, and I know it's because, you know, Yeshua was there, and I had his presence and comfort, you know, and bringing healing to the situation.
Oh, that's wonderful, Jackie. Well, first of all, congratulations on your book, but even more congratulations on what it's bringing to you spiritually.
Yeah.
And the resolve that it's bringing into your life. This is huge. This is major, Jackie. And it really brings to bear a discussion that we have had on our Bridge to Heaven course. And that is about, is God with us in our suffering? Well, yes. Yes. But what so many people cannot grasp when they think of, well, you mean when I'm suffering, God is suffering? Well, God is with you in your suffering. It doesn't mean God is not also with the little boy throwing a frisbee and laughing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that God is not also rejoicing with someone getting married. God is with the bird and also with the fish and with the air in which the bird flies and the water in which the fish swims. You see, what we have trouble with as humans is projecting onto God our limitations. And so we can't bear the thought that God would only be suffering with us. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And be restricted by our suffering. Well, God is never restricted by our suffering. Never. God is has an omniscient presence that exceeds our human understanding. But the great news is that the more we take God into our life, the more we transcend our limitations. The more we rise above our boundaries, the less we need boundaries, because the more we can allow other people to be who they are and allow them to see us for who we are. And that's exactly what I see happening in your life, Jackie.
Yeah, thank you.
And so many people have reported that in the quality of their spiritual life because of the blessings. Because you're just taking Yeshua more into your life. And, of course, he came to teach us that we don't need to hide behind the closets that protect us. We can just simply be in our heart, be all that we are, and allow others to be who we are. After all, the last person he actually spoke with and engaged with was the other man dying, a criminal dying on the cross with him. And he said, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." And so in every part of his life, he saw no difference between visiting with the priest and sitting with the lepers. And, of course, he was crucified for that, because we're supposed to build this ego identity that we lay on ourselves like a wardrobe of clothes. Maybe it changes a little from day to day, but it's essentially the same wardrobe identity. And if we dare to break out of that, we have violated some major reality. And the world is waiting to punish us. Well, those are the traps in which we live. And I see that you're springing those traps just by an expanded conversation, just by a greater outreach from your heart. And that is wonderful.
And one thing that I found really quick was that after the conversation and, you know, listening to what she had to share and how it occurred for her, instead of feeling like I needed to defend myself, it was like so amazing, because I really, like, now I desire to sit down with my dad and hear his side of the story. Like, I really want to be able to sit with him and know what it was like for him. And it has nothing to do with my interpretation of anything. It's just really allowing him to express what it was like for him.
Uh-huh.
That was amazing.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that, Jackie. You're doing wonderful work.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to participate in our conversation right now? I welcome you. Remember, press star 6 and then 1. And actually, the more expanded our conversation is with life, the more of life we put on our plate, and the more opportunity we have for discovering new ideas, new creations, new revelations. And I think if there's anything common about or common denominator, I should say, about Yeshua's teaching, it would be live an expanded dialogue with life. In that, you will eventually discover the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes these conversations don't start off pleasantly. Sometimes our first words to another person actually trigger their own resistance or resentment or defenses. But, you know, if we just listen and don't react and bear forth in love, it settles down into a truth that we can share. And perhaps there'll never be an exact agreement, but at least there can be an evolved understanding. Hey, we have somebody else on the call. I don't have an exact name, but You're from Global Works, and your area code is 917.
Hi, this is Jose. How are you? I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Oh, hello, Jose. Welcome to the call.
Hi. I was wondering, Glenda, why Yeshua, or God, is fooling some people that in your past, that in the past do you wrong, and you still keep running into these type of people over and over again, and the perception that you have or how you react today is very different than how you reacted like years ago, even though they treat you bad. Let's put it this way.
Well, part of it, Jose, is that you're growing. And the other part of it is that you have some subconscious indigenous patterns that still attract you to these people. And it could be partly because these people are going to provide you with an opportunity for growth. It's kind of like going back to the same, going back to your hometown over and over again. You get to have a different experience of the same thing, and so you can chart your growth. And I think that's one of the reasons we have these repetitive patterns, is because it gives us a common denominator. And then through that common denominator, we can examine, okay, how am I dealing with it today versus how did I deal with it when I was 16? But then sometimes there can just be an unconscious pattern that takes us back there again. So what you need to ask yourself is, am I done with this lesson? If the answer is yes, then you take into your prayer for a cleansing of the deep underlying patterns that may be pulling you back to experiences you no longer need. If you do need more learning, then you pray for an acceleration of your learning so that you can be done with it. But either way, you don't judge it. You see, one of the things, one of the secrets to life is that we can never disconnect from what we're judging. Judgment is kind of like the tar baby in the Uncle Remus stories. You hit the tar baby and your hand gets stuck. And you keep trying to pull it out, and it's like a taffy pull. You just get pulled right back into it.
No, I understand. The thing is that, like, today, when I see them, it's a different thing. It's not like I want to get even, nor even I feel sorry for what we went through. And in a way, I have forgiven them, you know?
Well, that's good. So this is an opportunity for you to review your life and see where you've come. That's an excellent gift from God. That you're actually able to see that. And I would experience it with gratitude and praise and a sense of self-esteem.
Thank you so much, Glenda.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Many blessings to you.
You too. We have someone else now on the call from area code 774. And I don't
have a name. Hi, Glenda. It's Darlene.
Oh, hi, Darlene. How are you?
How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Glenda, I have two things. The first thing I want to say is thank you. I want to thank you for your continued work, for these blessings that we're all able to be here on Sunday and Fridays at sunset. I just want to take a moment and say thank you for all of your hard work, your willingness to begin this work and to include all of us. With a sincere heart, I want to say thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome, Darlene. And thank you for being a recipient who really, really receives and appreciates. And the way you really say thank you even more is to share it with somebody else. Because
absolutely.
I do it to start a reach of spirit around the world.
Absolutely. I have a question.
Sure.
Yeah, I have a question, and it's really, really been bothering me, and I'm hoping that you can give me a clear answer. And before I say mention my question, I want to say that all the things that I've learned, all the things that Yeshua has taught me and so many people, and we're changing and shifting, and it's wonderful, and I love being part of it. And but in spite of me being part of this new way of thinking and being and loving, I have this haunting question. And inside me, I'm curious. I want to know why. Why are we having this human experience? Was there something that happened before we incarnated on the earth somewhere else that we had to have this experience? And what happened? I'm wondering if you have an answer to that question.
Well, I cannot answer for you on what your experience was, but I can answer in general for the pathway of the soul, and that is that we started off in unity with God, as love with God. And it started off originally as a dialogue of God communing with God, which is actually very key to what I'm teaching in our bridge to return heaven to earth. And that is that we return to that unison, that unity with God, by entering an expanded conversation where we can engage with one another, love others as ourselves, reach into the unified God self that we that we sprang from. However, in the meantime, what happened to all of us in a different way for each person is that from that conversation, we slowly progressed into a desire to know ourselves in separation. We wanted to have a unique and separate persona. You wanted to be you, I wanted to be me. And I, hopefully, in love, wanted to know you as you, and you wanted to know me as me. Not each other knowing each other as God, but as a separate self. Well, it's the experience of separation that has brought about all of the challenges and the agonies. Because in our lost state, we had to create identities. We had to suppress our memory of God, because otherwise we would just get sucked back into unity. That's our natural state, darling. And so in order to be out on a limb, we had to invent a saw and saw the limb off. The limb fell to the ground, lost connection with the tree. It sprouted new roots, and we said, yay, I'm me. But we weren't big enough to survive by ourselves without having endless survival challenges. Now, those survival challenges have been different for each person. Some people have managed to get strong roots and reunited with the tree, and those would be the saints we know that have had extended and powerful experiences of transcendence, knowing that they are in a separate life and yet they are part of God. But for most of us, that isn't the way it's been. For most of us, we've had to compete for our little piece of earth to sink our roots into. And sometimes in that state of separation, we can become pretty impatient and ill-natured. And then on top of that, as if that isn't enough, we get deeper into judgment. We judge our fellow man for being in the same condition we're in, making the same mistakes we're making. And it just gets deeper. It's like we're digging ourselves into a trench. And then all we can do is sit in the trenches, frown at each other, and get irritable. Well, Darlene, all we ever needed to do, ever, is just to turn back around, look toward the big tree, look up into the branches toward the light, and say, you know, I used to be one of those branches. Now, how do I get back up into the branches of that tree? Well, you know, that is the basic of everything that Yeshua taught. And the original Aramaic word for that is what translates into the word repent. Now, the word repent had nothing to do with sin. This has been misinterpreted through the ages. It had to do with being disconnected, turning back around toward God. Repent means turn around. It means you're facing out to the far distant horizon, getting more disconnected by the day. And he would say, okay, there's an answer to that. Turn around. Look back to your source. Look to where you came from. You know, it's like if you get lost traveling and you don't have a map, the one thing you can do is go back to the city you were in before. Once you're there, you go back to the city you were in before that and go back to the city you were in before that. That's like turn around until you get your bearings recovered. It was so simple. His teachings were so amazingly simple. They have really only been distorted through complexity and further judgment. He said, don't judge. Everyone who has ever preached his teaching through a voice of judgment has misinterpreted his teaching. That one common denominator, I can promise you. And I don't make judgments, as I say that, about doctrine or denominations, because there's something right and perfect in every one of the doctrines and denominations. It really comes down to how they were presented. But the voice of some people who've presented them has been a voice of judgment. It's been a voice of condemnation. It has not been a voice of love. And the word repent has been the most misinterpreted word in the history of Christianity, while in the first century it was the most taught word, because it most related to rediscovering the tree from which our limb broke off. Does that help?
Thank you so much. That does help. It's amazing, because it, given to my own mind and thinking about that, you know, all kinds of scenarios go on, and I even, you know, had thoughts of similar to what you were saying, and I'm saying, while we were connected to God, something must have happened. There must have been some kind of fragmentation where there was an independent spirit of and who we are wanting to break away, but I didn't know how to sort that out in my mind to where I felt comfortable. And what you said makes perfect sense. It's thank you, because I have a sense of knowing and comfort in knowing why all of this had to come in, why all of this, the experiences on the earth since we've been here have been, you know, the wars and the suffering, you know, and sometimes you say, why? Why did we all have to go through all of that? And trying to put those pieces together. So and we've come so far as human beings. And it's nice to know and feel that I have a sense of why it all started, and it makes sense what you said. So thank you for that. And again, thank you for everything that you do. God bless you, Brenda.
Thank you, Darlene. And that was actually a great question, because I know it's a question everybody has, maybe a little differently phrased, but everybody's got that question. They ask, why? But I want to add one little extra piece to that apple pie, because the thing is, the tree from which our limb broke off has always been there. And there's always been a place for us waiting for us to reconnect the limb that we are. In the meantime, we have come to learn more about ourselves. Because we've had an adventure, because we have had an opportunity to get to know others in the midst of their adventure, we've had a profound occasion to learn something that meant little to us when we were in unity, and that is compassion. When we were in unity, like babes in arms, held in a cradle, cared for from morning to night and through our sleep, compassion was almost an irrelevant thing because everything was cared for. Because of our experience, we were able to learn compassion. We were able to learn forgiveness. And we were able to really appreciate the unity we have. And when we rejoin it, it will not be with any loss of identity. We will return to the heavenly state as you, as me, as each one of us, in a symphony, knowing that the flutes and the trombones all create the symphony, and the violins and the tubas and the pianos are all part of it. We can recognize our unique gifts and see the harmony that is made richer because we're unique. It's something we couldn't appreciate. So there's going to be a real paycheck even beyond the return to unity when it happens. And that paycheck will actually have to do with also knowing that each one of us has extended creation. When we were simply children in the arms of God, it was like Mother, Father created it all. We were little seedlings. We were nurtured and kept in the nursery. And we had just been provided for, shall we say. Now, we have learned about providing for ourselves, providing for others, and returning to our father and mother the gifts they have given us. We can be in a greater state of self-esteem in the kingdom of heaven, knowing that it's not simply provided by the Creator, but it stems from within our own heart. That's a huge lesson to learn. It's a huge opportunity for personal fulfillment. And you can, every one of you can remember that. In the dark night of your soul, in the moments of greater separation, just remember, all you need to do is turn back and reach for love. Turn back, face the light. Turn back and go where you came from. If it gets to hurting too much, it just means you've gone too far in the wrong direction. So go back to where it felt right. And it's really about as simple as that. The teachings of Yeshua are so amazingly easy. But we fight them because we have embarked upon this adventure of self-discovery, and we don't want it taken from us because complexity is part of that self-discovery. Mysteries are part of that self-discovery. The unknown and all the other things that go along with it. We're so reluctant to let go for fear that we'll lose all of the identity we have accomplished. Well, my friends, you will not. You will be fulfilled in your reunion this time. The adventure is about to be over in the sense of disconnection. It's about to take a new turn. The new adventure will be the adventure of discovering yourself in unity. It's about to turn around. Actually, it started turning around 2,000 years ago. And it's been slowly picking up speed over the last 2,000 years. And as Yeshua prophesied, there would come a point where it would hit a crescendo of turning around. And that crescendo would coincide with situations in the world that would make it absolutely mandatory, because collectively we cannot go any further in the direction we've gone. It's time to turn around. And the blessings are here to help you do that. and to help you do it in bliss without making anything wrong that you've done, just honoring who you are, allowing you to receive Yeshua in your heart, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the blessings of God for all that you are. Again, it's as simple as that. All you have to do is just relax, receive, and let go of your judgments about life, knowing that in the presence of God, all will be restored, all will be healed, you will be brought back into your perfect unity. The only other thing beyond that is we need to bring more people into the state of unity. We need to allow our restored unity to spill over to others. Just as Jackie was explaining about her book and her expanded conversations with her family, that's great work, and I know all of you are doing it with each other. I have so many friends on this call and clients I counsel with, and I know that they're engaging in the expanded conversations of life, talking about things in ways they couldn't have dreamed of doing a decade ago. It's happening. And the upside is that your life will be richer. It will include more realities, more people, more unity, more bliss, more fulfillment, more of everything you desire. And as you bring more into your life, it increases the opportunity for you reaching your state of wholeness. Because one of the great sacrifices we had to make, all of us, in order to invent this saw and saw off the branch on which we were standing, is we had to fragment ourselves. And it's in that fragmentation that all of our pains exist, whether they're emotional, social, or physical. And so as we engage in the expanded dialogue with more people, bringing in more realities, we are increasing the likelihood that we will bring in more of the energy, more of the spirit, and more of the total connection with life that will assist in rebuilding our personal wholeness. Sometimes it takes a lot of faith to do that. This is why Yeshua always acknowledged that. But the result of wholeness is the key to your healing, your happiness, and all that you desire. So with that, I'd like to move into our blessing, because that's what it's all about. Those of you who are new, I would like you to remove your shoes and socks and have your feet on the ground, sitting in a comfortably upright position, so that you're you don't have to be in a yoga pose. You can lean back in the chair and be comfortably situated, but be situated so that your head is uncovered and pointing toward the cosmos, toward heaven, because we're going to flow energy from the earth and from the sun and the planets through your body, swirling around your heart, into the earth and back from the earth up to the heavens, because we're expressing and experiencing our unity. Yeshua will join you in your heart. The Holy Spirit will conduct this energy into every cell of your body and all parts of your whole soul and being, that you may receive in every way that you're open to receive. Once the blessing is complete, I want you to rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't think, because the mind interferes with the assimilation process. You see, the mind is part of your fragmented life. It's the part of you that doesn't have an answer, that does not have an explanation, and that actually invented the saw that cut the limb. So bless your mind. It's a good tool, but put it on the park bench, okay? And now I would ask that you allow your attention to fall into your heart. Be there in your heart and express your prayers to God Almighty, the Creator, your Heavenly Father. Your prayers are already known, but it's important that you express them, because in the expressing, you both ask and receive and express your gratitude. that seals the promise. It seals your receptivity for the blessings of God. If you will pray for 3 minutes, I will begin with an invocation to Yeshua, and then I, as an antenna for his energy into the human dimension, will convey the energy of God, the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua. And I ask that any blessing givers that wish to join me would be here and assist me in doing that. This will last for 3 minutes. I'll let you know when it's complete. Blessings be to you. And dear Yeshua, thank you for being with each person, knowing that whatever separation we are in is only a momentary illusion that was necessary to refine the nature of our being, to teach us compassion, forgiveness, responsibility, and self-awareness. It has been a blessing despite the hurt we sometimes feel. Now assist us in turning back home, that we may embrace the kingdom of heaven first within and then approach our reunion with God. Thank you for being with us no matter what, embracing us with your love, your compassion, your forgiveness, and being the bridge between where we are and where we seek to be. Thank you for bringing the blessings of the Holy Spirit to us and uniting us with our Father in heaven. Amen. Your blessing energy is complete. Now go and rest and assimilate the blessings of the Holy Spirit in all parts of your body, heart, soul, and being. Remember, God loves you. And so do I. Have a wonderful week, and bye-bye.